Gethsemane on Monday, and I'd like to drop over and talk to you 20 minutes if I could.
Sure would. I think you ought to look at that record, get somebody to summarize it for you this morning.
Yes, sir,
18 of them tore into us. I've read it. It was a frame-up between Mansfield, Fulbright, and Bobby.
Uh-huh.
We had a three-hour meeting with him the other night. Mansfield, as usual, spaghetti, had nothing to say. He's just against the war. But that I've done everything I can to get peace, and that Sihanouk's the greatest man in the world, and that just nothing, it's just spaghetti. Fulbright says I'm determined to run us out of Vietnam, that we've got to get out of there, and that's my purpose. I was lied to, misled on Tonkin Gulf, and any time you contract based on fraud and misrepresentation is no contract at all, and that Congress does have some responsibility, and I want it exercised. I want to be consulted. I said, well, now you've been consulted. We've been here 3 hours. You just play president for a minute. Tell me what you would like for me to do. What is it you recommend? He recommends negotiation. I said, I do too. So how do we get going? He can't get anywhere. He just goes off then on a tangent and talks about how terrible the war is, and how it's tearing our society to pieces, and how it's dividing us here, and how it's hurting us in the world. I said, I agree to all that. I won't debate any of it. It is bad here at home. It is bad in other places. The alternative, though, I believe, if we just pulled up and run out, would be worse. He has no solution, no recommendation. We move on. Sparkman says, well, I think we've done the best we could under the circumstances. Damn little harm, damn little good from him. Aiken kind of mouthed around like an old man, old woman, kind of this Mansfield line, but didn't say anything. I made them all talk for a couple hours before I opened my mouth. Burke Hickenlooper was quite good, said, I don't approve of the way the war has gone. I think we ought to have done more than we have done. I don't agree we ought to pull our punches. I think we ought to try to get it over with, do more. We have more power, and we haven't applied it, and we've had 5 years of it now, and we've got to look at our strategy. But I don't think we ought to be a Civil War committee, and I don't think the business of calling the Secretary up and putting him out here in front of television is very good at all. And I think you have consulted enough. And he was just perfect. Couldn't have been better. He was real strong and able. That was about the substance of it. Yesterday, Scoop Jackson called and said that they had this frame-up and that they were going to make these speeches and that he and Dick Russell didn't know what we were going to do in the way of troops and that they didn't know how to answer them, but somebody ought to answer them. I called Scoop Jackson back and talked to him and got that picture. Then I called Mansfield and told Mansfield, as he knew, Fulbright was talking about consulting. We consulted 3 hours the night before. I didn't want to put it in the paper because I knew Fulbright would leak his side of it, and I knew the Rivers would be mad, and all the House people and the other senators who hadn't been consulted would say I was consulting Fulbright. So I told him to keep it off the record. But I told Jackson I'd talk to him and told him what had happened, and then I called Mansfield, and Mansfield said, well, I'm going to do the best I can to explain that you do want peace, but I'm also going to say something for myself. So he got up and said nothing, and then I talked to Russell. Russell said, well, I can't say. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know whether you're going to call up reserves or not. I don't know whether we ought to put any more men in this quagmire or not. I don't think we know how to fight a war out there. I think you've been a complete failure for 5 years. I think you've got to take out Haiphong, and I think you're too tender and too much like a woman to do it, and you haven't got any guts. And that is about the net of Russell. He was disappointed that we hadn't done more with our power. And he said, now you're down to nothing. You couldn't respond anywhere in the world. You haven't got a single regular division. And I said, well, we had about 12 in the strategic reserve. Now we've got about 6, and we probably have to call up some reserves, but we want to come talk to you. I asked Clark to do this while I was in Puerto Rico before they came to me. He said, no, he wanted to wait till afterwards. And then I told him I would talk to Russell, and I just haven't had the moment to do it with the Fulbrights and the rest of them. So they blew it yesterday. Then McGovern got up and case got up and the general kickoff. They had 18 of them, I believe, all together. The Hatfields and the Cases and the Gores and that general type. None of it added up to anything except they've got to act and pass. Now, I think we have to try first to see if there are any initiatives, political or diplomatic, that we can get in the mail that will cover that fraud a little bit for us, where we're just not static and doing nothing, and just if we can, we ought to see if there's any possible thing there. That's first. I think the second thing we ought to see is what would be the best legislative approach to this thing before we act on additional troops. We're going to have to act. We're going to have to call them up. And we don't want to assume the burden of having an affirmative resolution, because they can filibuster it. But we can't get it passed, then that would be a failure and that would fall. So I think we ought to see what we can do. My judgment would be, just guessing, that to get Russell to move to repeal the Gulf of Tonkin. With the understanding, if they did repeal it, we would pull in our horns or something, and then a motion to table that would lie, and after 4 or 5 days you could cut off the debate on it. But the question then is whether we do have a bad record. I didn't know anything about all these doubts that McNamara's going into and what these men were wiring back and forth till this thing came up.
Yeah.
And I'm getting my eyes opened a little bit, and from what Fulbright says, it looks like maybe he was misled. I don't know. I didn't hear McNamara's side of it, but Russell thinks we were misled.
Do they doubt that the two attacks occurred?
They doubt that we told the truth when we said that we were there on an innocent mission. Routine, that's number one. Mm-hmm. Routine and innocent. That it was, as a matter of fact, a spy mission. That was a part of a South Vietnamese effort that at warfare. That's the general feeling. Second, when we responded to the second attack, they do not believe that we had adequate information that it happened to justify a response at that time. While we might prove now that it did happen, we acted impulsively. Now, I don't remember much of the details, except I remember from about 8 or 9 at night until 11, I kept putting it off myself, and they called me 3 or 4 times and asked me to please go on. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid that if we launched those planes, that they would say and announce it before we were sure that we would, they would say that I got a bunch of boys killed by announcing it. And, our record shows I talked back and forth to McNamara 3 or 4 times when they were asking me to announce it, and I was kind of holding back, trying to be sure that we had word back from Pearl Harbor, and trying to be sure that we that they would have these planes in their radar by the time I announced it after they were launched and stuff of that kind.
Yeah.
That's about all I remember of the effect. But his feeling is that we told them that this was unprovoked, that it was innocent, and that we were on this regular mission within our where we were entitled to be. That in fact we had invaded territorial waters. In fact we were provoking it. In fact we were a part of the Vietnamese effort. In fact it was an intelligence mission. And that they weren't told that. Now, Mansfield even went to say that if he had to vote on it, he wouldn't vote for it now, that he had been misled. Now, that record is very significant, ought to be studied carefully. Another thing I think you ought to be, if you need to go to David or any place to brush up, be sure to go up there, take a helicopter and go up there, stay anywhere you want to. But I had the Security Council memos, they weren't very thorough, but Mac Bundy kept some. And as I recall, they showed that I asked for a very thorough study by the Attorney General. And by the counselor of the State Department, based on what Taft had said on Korea.
Yeah.
And that they both came in. I believe we got a memo from the State Department. I think the Attorney General told us that no question but what we had authority to commit troops. Nevertheless, from May until August, we talked about it, and we never committed them until this thing came along. We responded, and it is out of the way, and then we decided if they're going to have troops in there and we're going to have further attacks made upon us, we ought to be prepared.
Yeah.
And we asked for the resolution, and we got it. We didn't say it had to be done in an hour. At their own speed, it wasn't ours. I did insist that we have both armed services and foreign affairs present in both places. But I think that little history might be good for you, because he branded the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. He gave it that. And while I think the attack did spur it and speed it, I think that it's evident that we were trying to find the proper course to consult the Congress and to pull them in on the general picture out there.
Yeah.
I think we've got to do that now. I just do not think it we. So my thought would be this. We have a 525,000 ceiling. I don't think we can run this war like we're running it. I just don't think we can keep on delaying and wait till a fatal day and find out we were too little too late. I think that we have 510 that have been authorized out there now. They've either arrived or they're close by. We don't propose to send but 20 more. That would be 530. In our replacements, I would hope that we could chisel 5,000 that not replaced for 2 or 3 months out of the rotating group.
Mm-hmm.
Where we could send these 20 and stay if they are a real essential.
Yeah.
Or at least send 15 of them.
Yeah.
Send 20 if they're essential. But stay within our 525 ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get your testimony over and until we can get an expression in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I would think there are 2 or 3 ways to approach that. One would be by bringing up the Tonkin Gulf. That's their remedy, and having it tabled. Another way would be to have a request for all the money that we need. I don't think we ought to go this McNamara route. Now, you know, Bob is one of the most competent men we've ever had, and you and I both knew him and depended on him more than anybody else. But in this warfare thing, nobody is perfect. And this budget of his, he's just way off all the time. The budget director told me last year, if we went on the next year the way we are now, we'd have over $100 billion defense budget. He says McNamara is going to be off from $2 to $5 billion already this year. He said in the month of December he's way off, and in January he's just way up. And that they have tried to juggle and postpone and move up and slip and slide. And he says it's just shocking, our fiscal picture. So I think that what we better do is hit the cold water. We can't do much. We got you up here on Tuesday.
Monday.
Well, we got New Hampshire Tuesday, I guess. We'll lose that, and that'll be a real blow, I'm afraid. I don't know what will come, but the way they're going, it's hurting us pretty heavy up there, and this attack yesterday was for that purpose. I would think we'll have to make an announcement by next Wednesday on these 20,000. I would hope when we announce them that we could say that this makes our 525, that's the ceiling. Now, that we are going to we're going to refurnish our strategic reserve and call up all these folks, whatever we're going to have to call up, then have an accurate estimate how much that's going to cost the rest of this fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
And how much it'll cost next year. And then say, now we'll be ready to testify on that next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go before the appropriations committees and the armed services committees on those extra troops so that we can get this away from Fulbright.
Mm-hmm.
And get it in.